Well, this is a reading from my book, Prozac, Profound Revelations of Sunday Afternoon Cycling Church. It's a fairly flippant look at the way we do church. It's concerning head coverings. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 4 to 5 in the Bible, it is stated that women should have their heads covered during worship, but men should not. This poses a problem for the males, as the law of the land states that head coverings, or helmets, should be worn, and we're instructed to obey the state authorities in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Which biblical principle should take precedence? Well, after much debate and some acts of civil disobedience, by some claiming to be obeying the law of God rather than the law of men, the issue has been satisfactorily resolved following a revelation to one of the Sunday afternoon cycling church members. This revelation occurred as the person hurtled at great speed and with very little control down a muddy hill towards a large pine tree. The words from Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17 were vividly imprinted on his mind, "Put on the helmet of salvation." Well, they were indeed saved from hitting the pine tree, and with great rejoicing it was decided that this was a word from God for all of us. It was resolved that the wearing of helmets by men was not, in fact, a stench in God's nostrils, but could be included as part of our act of worship, being a metaphor for the salvation that Christ has achieved for us.
And these are just some of the revelations of the bicycle pope, Stephen Muir, who in 2003 started the Cycling Church, and a year later wrote the book of Profound Revelations of the Sunday Afternoon Cycling Church.
Some members continued to explore this metaphor further by finding significance in the fact that it was a Pinus radiata tree that was involved, particularly the fact that God's salvation radiates out and includes the entire cosmos in its scope. Few saw much significance in the Pinus aspect of that image, with the exception of one person who suggested we need to enlarge our vision in this area, and recommended an internet search on Pinus enlargement to see if God might wish to reveal anything from this rich metaphor. We'll keep you informed of any significant developments from seeking the Lord in this manner. Please give thanks that we have clarified this troublesome area of men wearing helmets. If you'd like to add to our insight in these issues, please email helmetsareasignoftheantichrist@cyclingchurch.org.nz. 2004, I wrote the book Profound Revelations of Sunday Afternoon Cycling Church, and it was around then that I developed the website and was looking for an email. So I was trying to think about what would an appropriate title be, and I thought of, you know, the Reverend or the Bishop, and I thought, oh no, people might think I'm a bit serious if I do that sort of thing. So I thought, oh, I'll call myself the Pope, and then everyone will know I'm completely flippant about my approach to this, which is what I was trying to foster.
But at the same time, it does derive from a serious interest in the church.
That's right. I'm involved in the Island Baptist Church, which meets near the University of Canterbury, and it's a great place, but I'd often, even though it's, as far as churches go, I think it's the one that suits me the best, I'd often find myself, particularly on a nice sunny Sunday morning, going into this church hall, and they'd often have the curtains drawn because they had fancy multimedia presentations going, and I'd think, oh, I really connect a lot more with God out in the sunshine, on my bike, on the Port Hills, or something like that. So that's where the idea of the cycling church came from, to encourage this sense of worshipful activities, but outside the sitting in a church setting, and to encourage a connection with God in the outdoors.
Bicycle Pope Stephen Muir, who lives a modest life, no Vatican City for this Pope, but an historic little cottage on Christchurch's busy central city, Barbados Street. Here, in a tiny space between his front door and the footpath, a jumble of old bikes rest haphazardly in the loving care of this ecologically evangelical Christian, whose most devoted followers are, of course, his own loving family.
Which is your bicycle out here and all these bicycles?
The red one.
The red one's yours? And who do all the other bikes belong to?
I have a sister and where's Patrick's?
Oh, Patrick's got two there, the pink one and the green one.
Pink one and the green one? Oh, I see, it's a big bike.
God.
That's my little sister's.
Yeah.
She's only three.
What's this thing here, Ezra?
A tandem. We made this tandem.
What do we make it out of, Ezra? That was an old power rider machine, one of those exercise machines that we got from the op shop.
And a mega loud bell.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty good buy. We got this $2 exercise machine from the City Mission. We made a tandem out of it, and then I made a spine bike trailer over here out of it too. So I got a bike trailer and a tandem for $2.
Ooh.
Do you want to talk to Petra about riding?
Yeah.
She's our 3-year-old. Do you like bikes, Petra?
Yes.
What's your bike? What colour is it?
Pink.
And what's your favourite place to go on a bicycle?
Portobello.
Well, that's your daycare, isn't it? Do you like to ride your own bike there?
Yes.
Oh, now, what happens when it rains, Petra? Yes. Do you get very sad when it rains and go, oh, I want to go in the car? What happens?
I've been very happy.
You're very happy?
Because I like splashing in all the puddles.
Oh, you like splashing in the puddles when it's rainy? It's one thing that I've been trying to encourage is kids just imitate their parents. So if the parents go around going, oh, it's a horrible day, it's raining, and then the kids will pick up that attitude. But if you cultivate the attitude, hey, it's raining, let's go and splash in some puddles, then that's what the kids pick up, isn't it? And we have great time going through the puddles, don't we? As long as we keep you warm. It's not much fun getting cold, is it? But if we keep warm enough, we've got plenty of warm clothes.
If it snows, I will be so sad and it'll be so cold.
So we've got gloves. And what do you put on your head, Petra, when it's real cold in the frosty days?
You put a balaclava.
Do you like wearing a balaclava?
Mm-hmm. It keeps my face warm.
And what do you do when you get to daycare with your balaclava? No. Do you pretend you're a monster?
No, I pretend I'm a monster that poor bellow.
And what noises do you make? Oh, that's right. Yep, Petra's 3 years old. She cracked riding a bike without training wheels just before she turned three, and she was still two, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
She's been the one who's...
You know what's cute? I go to kindy.
Yeah, that's right. You used to ride your bike to kindy too?
Mm-hmm. And I had a little problem.
A three-wheel problem?
Yeah.
What was the problem there?
I fell off. When I was two.
Yeah, the trouble with training wheels is you can't lean very well, can you? So you hit the slope on the footpath and you tip over.
Yeah.
It's much better now you've got your training wheels off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I put her straight on the bike with training wheels and I think that actually helped. Rather than using the tricycle, which I don't learn to balance as early. And they're actually harder to pedal as well because I don't have the chain drive.
It's a serious cycling family.
Yeah, we're trying to. I don't think we're naturally athletic family, so it does take some encouragement to get them on the bikes, but once we get out and about we have a great time. Yep. Yeah, Burrata Forest is one of our favourite spots, biking up to the beach and playing around there. Hey Petra, would you like to tell her what you think of cars? What do you think of cars?
I like listening to Rumble Buffins.
We do have a stereo in the car, don't we? Are there any bad things about cars?
They bump into each other.
They bump into each other, yeah, that's true. Anything else? Yeah, but the smells sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you notice the smells?
The smells. They're pretty yucky.
Yucky, yeah.
Yeah. Good on a bike. Oh well. Not that we're indoctrinating them.
Just a little bit. Well, one of the things that was influential in getting me into the cycling church kind of things was I did some theology papers at the Bible College in New Zealand and did a lot of talking about the state of the church in the West, and New Zealand is fairly typical that it's declining and that a lot of people aren't really finding any inspiration in the institutional church. So we need to find other structures, I suppose, to express faith. So that was partly the inspiration behind cycling church, is to have an informal, relaxed, outdoor, light-hearted approach to spiritual exploration. So that was quite significant, and a lot of people are looking for different ways of expressing their faith that are more meaningful. The word of the Lord, creator of heavens and the earth, came to me in the year 2007 AD. the 30th year after the first oil price shocks and at the beginning of peak oil and global warming. Thus saith the Lord, I have seen the greed and the overconsumption of the people of the earth, and behold, I am most displeased. They pollute my clear blue skies with their exhausts, and congest the land with roads and private motor vehicles. If the people of the earth do not repent and change from their wickedness, I shall bring judgment, saith the Lord. There will be a terrible shortage of the fuel that drives their greed. Yea, there will also be disastrous changes in the earth's climate, storms that rage against the evil that is occurring, and seas that will rise and condemn the lack of concern that humanity is showing for the beautiful world I have given into their care. Then the people of the earth cried out, saying to the Lord, But how shall we carry our heavy goods and take our little darlings to school every morning? And the Lord revealed the mechanism by which the people of the earth should transport their goods. And behold, it was a bike trailer. The Lord then instructed people everywhere to go forth and construct bike trailers, and to use them to transport their groceries, their children, and other heavy items, rather than taking their car. And behold, it was very, very good.
The fixing room in here where all the construction happens.
Wow, so this is your workshop?
Yeah, this is all I've got for everything. So it's a little inadequate, really. But yes, there's bike trailers all over the place and bikes hanging on the ceiling, as you can see there. And
we're talking about a room which is only, would have been a little single bedroom once, maybe.
It's what, about 4 metres by 4 metres. Yep, got a workbench over there, drill press, which I've borrowed from my father, actually, that one. And you've got about 4 bike trailers that I'm working on down here. I've got my billboard trailer here, which I'm going to mount a little bracket on so we can put a billboard on for various sort of promotional purposes if we've got events coming up.
And much bigger trailers.
Yeah, the bigger trailer, that was my fridge trailer, which we used in the supermarket challenge. So we had the fridge mounted on that, but it was going a bit rusty, so I had to take the fridge off and paint it up.
Okay, so that's the trailers stacked up there.
Yep, I've got various bins piled up to almost the ceiling. It's a 3 metre stud here, so there's plenty of room to stow. That's why I've gone up, seeing I can't go out. So yeah, I've got various apple crates and recycling bins and bins from a plastic box shop and things, which are used for various different trailers. I've got a couple of canoe oars up there as well, much a bit of paddling, and I've got my canoe trailer, of course, which is next door. So I've got a trailer I can tow my canoe on and can bike from here out to the beach, which is probably about 12 k's, I suppose, there and 12 k's back. So it's much better than chucking it on the roof rack of the car. And it's a few lengths of steel up there as well, perched up in the ceiling space.
All right.
So I use those for bending up. Oh, over there behind the trailers is my pipe bending thing. So I put that in the vise over here. I've got a vise mounted on my bench. So I use that for bending up pipes. But the problem with this small room is, of course, if you want to make a long trailer, which I do, I want to bend up a long piece of pipe, you can't physically get enough room with the ceiling to do a 90 degree bend in this small space. So I've got to go outside for that, which is a bit frustrating.
So this is all in the front room of your house, which is one of these classic little older cottages along Barbados Street in Christchurch.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Right up close to the road.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So easy access to get out there.
Yes, although we do have a gate to get out, which is a bit awkward with bike trailers on the back. We've got to prop it open with a stone to get the trailer out.
Yeah, and I see that just in the tiny space between the house and the fence, you have outdoor shed full of bikes.
Yes, that's a relatively recent addition. So we've got lots of bikes out there. So I've got the various options, my road bike and mountain bike and people mover bikes and tandem
They're all your
attachments.
Bikes, just for you?
No, Carolyn's got about 3 there as well. Yep, and then the kids have got their bikes. They're over in the corner over there. Yes, so yeah, there's plenty of bikes around. And then I've got a couple of other ones that I'm doing up for people as well, because I like to encourage other people onto bikes. So there's probably about 4 or 5 lying around that are various stages of repair that I'm doing up so I can pass them along cheaply to people who need bikes. This bike trailer's just out here.
So now what have we got here? This is your bike trailer.
It fits a bucket in here and then I can scoot over here.
A recycling bin.
And
inside it.
What do you like to do down at school, Ezra?
Take people for rides.
Yeah, well, you hook it onto your own bike and you can ride all your friends around school, can't you? You can really zoom around and have lots of fun, can't you?
I can turn off the spring in there.
Yeah, that hooks onto your bike.
That looks such fun.
Oh, it's great fun. And what sort of loads do you put in this trailer, Ezra?
Shopping.
Shopping? What other sort of loads?
People.
What about the gas bottle?
Yeah, gas bottle.
What do you do with the gas bottle?
Carry it in the bike trailer all the way home and all the way there.
Down to the garage. It's about at least 1.5 kilometres down to the garage. Can you lift the gas bottle by yourself?
About that high.
You can lift it about 3 inches off the ground, can't you? But you can carry it a long way on the bike trailer. Much easier, isn't it?
Yeah. Why is it?
That's because you're using the wheels to take all the weight.
Can I go for a wee ride over to the
air? You want to go for a wee ride over to the air? Sure.
What are the core values of the Bicycle Pope?
Well, one would be to appreciate God through the creation and experience of the outdoors, and particularly cycling in the outdoors. The other is the cultivating a good sense of humour, so to take all of the particularly religious type of things with a good dose of salt and sense of humour and that sort of thing. And I think the book that I wrote cultivates that quite well. But the other very strong value that I have is, if you accept the fact that there is a God and God created this world, then I think that God would like us to look after this world. And the use of the private motor vehicle is having a fairly huge destructive effect on this world. So trying to encourage people to use their bikes more often is a very strong value that I have. And that's why we're doing this whole thing about bike trailers and bike trailer workshops and the supermarket challenge, which demonstrates the use of bike trailers, because from my own experience, I'm quite happy to cycle by myself wherever I go, but the thing I struggled with was how to get heavy loads around. For example, I'd play bass guitar at the church I go to, and I'd have to take the car whenever I was on playing bass, which frustrated me. So that's what initially sparked my interest in bike trailers, was to be able to carry a reasonably significant load without having to take the car. So that was the first major load I had in my bike trailer, was my bass amp and guitar, which worked very well. And then I thought, well, there's obviously other loads that you can carry. Whenever we go shopping, we take the car because that's the easiest way to carry a load of groceries. But the bike trailer is an ideal way of carrying groceries around. And that led on to the supermarket challenge, which specifically picks up the use of a trailer for picking up your groceries.
What do you mean by the supermarket challenge? What was that?
Well, it's an event. It's the second time I've held it. This year it was on the 23rd of February. It's a Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. We had three lots of bikes and three lots of cars. They're travelling in pairs to three different supermarkets. So we had one pair go to Pack and Save, which is about 1 kilometre from the square. We left from Cathedral Square. And then one pair going 3 kilometres up to Merivale. And then another pair going 6 kilometres out to Church Corner. So it's a 12 kilometre return journey. So the idea was to demonstrate, each had to carry two children and pick up a week's worth of groceries. So it was demonstrating that you can carry two children and get a week's worth of groceries. And independent of which one came back first, just the fact that you can do it, I think is pretty significant, because most people, and in a couple of years ago, I would have thought, oh, there's no way I could do that on my bike. Mm. But having used some trailers and found out how great they are, it's was a remarkably good way of doing the shopping. And in fact, the first year we ran it, the bikes beat the cars in every circumstance, as far as time goes, enjoyment of the journey, and a couple of other things we measured. This year, Tim Barnett was one of our car drivers on the Pack and Save trip, the shortest one, and he actually beat the bike back, which was the first time it's happened that a car has beaten the bike, although the bike did have a 5-minute toilet stop, which put them behind, 3 minutes behind the car when they returned to the square. So I think I called that one a draw, because it was pretty close, and the toilet stop taken into account.
It was also pouring with rain that day, so that must have been a little bit of a factor.
It was hosing down, which I think in the end gave the bikes a bigger advantage. On the shorter journey, it didn't really come out.
So the journey to Merivale, the bike was almost half the time of the car. It took about 35 minutes compared to the car's hour to go the 3 kilometres and back. And all the riders claimed to have a great time despite the rain. I was standing in the square, feeling quite miserable actually, thinking, oh, this is terrible, they'll be soaking wet and having a horrible time. But in fact, they rated it very positively. We asked them to rate how they enjoyed the journey. So they were much more positive than the car drivers were, who were stuck in the long queues of traffic and getting a bit frustrated.
So you always shop with your bicycles?
Yes, quite often. Depends. Carolyn likes to do the shopping around our house, so she'll tend to take the car a little more often than I do. But my job's the muesli shopping, which I do at Bin In, so I always take the bike trailer up to load up with muesli-making ingredients. And other food type of things that we do is often we have friends with fruit trees who don't use the fruit, so I'll stick our 3-metre step ladder on the trailer with a couple of bins and go off to their fruit tree and relieve them of their excess fruit. Then come back and put it into bottles.
And I think you're torn from my bike trailer with this.
Now this is a bit of a sad story, this one. This is my first ever bike trailer.
Ah.
Does it look like a good bike trailer to you, Ezra? It's broken in half.
How?
Well, I've learned a few lessons on the way. This one's just not strong enough. It's got little joiners here at the corners which hold the aluminium frame together, and they're just not strong enough to carry a really heavy load. So I had a few logs of wood on this one, and it was too heavy for it, and it broke it in half. But I was really keen to try out my new hitch, which I had on it, which worked very well. So it's a bit of a lesson not to overload my trailers. So I've had a few disasters, actually.
Yeah.
I tried to make one out of an old ironing board, but that was when I didn't know too much about how strong they needed to be. And it got very bad speed wobbles, and I flipped it with my guitar on it. So that was a bit unfortunate. Didn't damage the guitar, but... yeah, I learnt my lessons.
And when the wheel started to bend, eh?
Yeah, that's right. One time my bass guitar on, the whole wheel bent over. So, yep, I've gone away from that design now. I've got much better designs, much better trailers.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, I guess it's a learning exercise. Everyone can't just pick up the idea without ideally having a workshop first.
That's right.
What's that?
No, that one doesn't have a frame yet, so that's just the spine trailer.
Is that a really strong one?
No, not particularly strong, but it's good enough for a light load like a billboard or something.
So how's the movement going? I mean, when you look at your conception of the idea and how it is going now, are you happy with where it's at?
No, I'm not really. I'm a bit disappointed about the lack of uptake of bike trailers. So after a couple of supermarket challenges, I think people have got the idea of what it is, and often you mention the supermarket challenge and people will recognise they've seen it in the newspaper, that kind of thing. But given the hundreds of thousands of people who've probably heard of it, well, maybe not 100,000, but many tens of thousands, I've had about 5 express interest in making a trailer themselves. So I think there's definitely room for improvement there. I guess I tend to have a big vision. I would like to see supermarket car parks full of bike trailers and the odd car for someone who can't get on their bike. And the roads are still very frustratingly congested with cars, and a lot of people could bike, but it's just the easy thing to do to jump in your car because it's the habit that's been developed. But if you take the initiative to develop the habit of cycling, then I think it's actually easier in the long run to cycle. And now that I've developed this habit of doing my shopping with the bike trailer and commuting around on the bike, I find it really frustrating to get back in a car and sit in queues and traffic. And I think, oh, if only I could be on my bike.
When the bikes ride everywhere. Oh, when the bikes ride everywhere.
Self-appointed bicycle pope Stephen Muir, who practices as he preaches a lifestyle of modest consumption, cycling with his young family from his inner city Christchurch home to preschool and school to work to the supermarket and to the beach. In August this year, Stephen Muir will hold a workshop to share his experience in making low-cost bike trailers from recycled materials. and each weekend he joins friends for a bike ride on Christchurch's Port Hills to celebrate the presence of God in the outdoors. Excerpts from Stephen's book Prozac, or Profound Revelations of Sunday Afternoon Cycling Church, can be viewed on his website, www.cyclingchurch.org.nz. When the bikes go to the shops. And I'm Deborah Nation for Spectrum on Radio New Zealand National.